Okay, shalom everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you for our weekly class on a mitzvah from the Parsha, or today more of an idea in Jewish ethics from the Parsha. And our starting point is really interesting and subtle, but this is an example of the rabbis, I guess, making a mountain out of a molehill, it feels like. But the place where it ends, I think, is really, really important and lovely. So let's jump right in. So we begin Sefer Vayikra this week, the book of Leviticus. And it's also Parshat Zachor this week. Keep that in mind. We're not going to talk about Zachor today. And the very first pasuk in the book of Vayikra says, "Vayikra el Moshe, Vayedaber Hashem elav me'ohel moed lemor." God called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying. So, the rabbis are struck by this Vayikra el Moshe, that God first called to Moses and then spoke to him. And we'll jump right into the Midrash, and we'll try to unpack it a little bit. So the Midrash says, I don't have an English translation. I'll translate it. Davar Acher. So the previous Midrashim were giving some explanations of this verse, and now the rabbis offer another one. Vayikra Moshe Vayedaber Hashem, that Hashem called to Moshe and spoke to him. Mikan Amru. From this, it is said, or it has been said, Kol Talmid Chacham She'ein Bo Da'at, any Torah scholar that does not have, now Da'at here, I don't think it just means knowledge. I think it's more like sort of a sense of what's proper. Nivela Tova Heimenu. A nivela, which is an animal that has died in a way that would make it not kosher. That's an animal not kosher, is better than that person. So you have a Torah scholar who lacks some sort of understanding or some sort of instinct, is worse than a nevela. And then the Midrash goes on to seemingly explain why. Teda, you should know. You should know that this is so. Say ulamad mimoshe avi hachochma. Go learn this. Say ulamad should raise our antennas, because we are almost a month away from Pesach. A month and a week exactly from Pesach. And say ulamad ma bikesh lavan ha'arami. Right, that's the way that paragraph starts in the Haggadah. So it's a rabbinic way of saying, let's learn together. Say ulamad mi Moshe avi hachachma. Let's learn why this is true from Moshe, the father of wisdom. Avi hanaviim, the father of the prophets. Shotzi Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. Right? Moshe was the smartest, and he was the father of all the Nevi'im, and he took Bnei Yisrael, he led Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt. Va'al yado na'asu kama nisim bin Mitzrayim. Vinno ra'ot al yamsuf, and by his hand, many miracles were done in Egypt, and awesome things at the sea when Moshe split the sea. So this is like Moshe's elevator pitch, right? His resume. He is the father of wisdom, the father of prophets, led the Jewish people out of Egypt. Did miracles and wonders in Egypt at the sea. Ve'ala l'shmei marom. Not only that, he went up to the heavens. Ve'horid Torah min hashamayim, and brought down the Torah from heaven. Ve'nitasek b'molechet ha'mishkan, and participated in the building of the Mishkan. Ve'lo nichnas lifnai v'lifnim ad shekaralo. However, despite this incredible resume, this incredible list of things that Moshe did, nonetheless, he would not go into the Ohel Moed, he would not go into the place where he is supposed to meet with God until God called him. Right? Don't go into a room before you knock and someone says, come in. Shene'emar, how do we know that Moshe would not go into the Ohel Moed before he was called? The rabbis quote our verse, Vayikra el Moshe. First, God called to Moshe and then spoke to him. Presumably, Moshe was not there. He got called into the room. Then he went into the room and then God spoke to him. So we have this seemingly simple verse, which at first glance seems to be just an introduction to what's going to happen next. And the rabbis, as they are wont to do, managed to learn this this lesson. But what we haven't figured out, right, is why the analogy to a nevela. Right? For those who stepped in a little bit late, the beginning of the Midrash says, any scholar that does not have this insight, and I think now the insight is to understand their place vis-a-vis God, is worse than a nevela, worse than a piece of non-kosher meat. What's the connection? I'll ask you. We'll open up the field now, right? Why would that be the thing that the Talmid Chacham without dot is compared to, right? A nevela of all things. Why not say what my teachers used to say to me? He's an Eisvarf, which I don't know how you translate. Anyone else ever get called an Eisvarf besides me? A bunch of goody two shoes. I don't know what it means, but it's not a compliment. I'm sure of it because it never came in the context of something good. But so, you know, okay. So why nevela? Why do you think this compared to a nevela?
Something special about being a kosher animal, but when it dies in such a way, it can no longer fulfill that.
Can't be sacrificed.
Can't be sacrificed. It can't be. Yeah.
Okay, that's really great. Potential.
Yeah.
Right? It had potential. This animal had potential to be kosher, but because something went wrong, it ends up not being kosher. And so maybe this Talmid Chacham, right, had potential to be something great because they had Torah knowledge. But listen to the message here, right? There was Torah knowledge, but because there was a lack of civility, what would we call that? A lack of derech eretz, right? Yeah. Maybe we say derech eretz kadma l'torah. We'll get to that in a minute, right? It's more.
Is that like the same? Is that where like Neville Birshus HaTorah comes from? Like
right? Okay, word? Great. The famous Ramban, excellent Dalia, that someone could be essentially following all the rules. But they are a naval birshut haTorah. They are what's a good way to translate a naval?
Like crude, I guess.
Crass, crude.
Yeah.
With the permission of the Torah, right? You're eating all the food you're eating is kosher, but you're a glutton, right? So that is a naval birshut haTorah. So here the person, right? It's hard to pinpoint if there is any transgression here, but something's off because they don't have derech eretz. So good, naval b'rishut haTorah is excellent. And David's point also, now we understand that maybe this is talking about this person had potential. So let's unpack this a little bit. And we'll start with Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler was the founder and Rosh Yeshiva of the Lakewood Yeshiva in Lakewood, New Jersey. And there are a collection of his writings. They're under this title of Mishnat Rabbi Aaron. He has some on the Talmud and some on the Torah and some on general Musar. And he quotes this Midrash in the context of Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah. And I'll read the paragraph because it's really quite beautiful. Derech Eretz Kadma L'Torah v'amru zechanam l'vracha. The rabbi said, he quotes our Midrash. So I'm not going to read the whole Midrash again. And we'll pick it up right over here with the parentheses, right? After he reads his whole midrash, how great Moshe was, but he still wouldn't go into the Ohel Moed until he was called. Anu lamdim mikan shelo zo bilvad shechayavim lahakdim derech eretz Torah. We don't only learn from here that we have to first develop a sense of proper behavior, or that comes first, or that's primary in relation to Torah. Ella, but we learned something else. She'im yesh chisaron b'derech eretz. If we lack this sort of refinement of character, kol tarato eina chashuva klal. Like David said, none of the Torah is worth anything. You had this animal, it was, had all the potential in the world, and now it became a nevela. So from a kosher perspective, it's worthless. You have this Talmid Chacham who has all the Torah in the world, but because they don't have this refined character, and this is Rav Aaron Cutler, the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood, their Torah is not worth anything. Without the Derech Eretz, the Torah is not worth anything. And then he goes on to unpack it even more. V'lo rak Torato, shehi beruach ubeneshama uveseichel, eino chashuva, ela kol atzmoto hi kemivutelet. That's really harsh. Not only is their Torah sort of disappeared, but their whole essence, it's as if their whole essence just disintegrates, is gone. D'afilu ha-nefesh ha-chiyunit, shemimena ma'alat ha-chai, eina chashuva klal. Even their physical being is not valuable here. V'nevela tova himena. And a nevela is better than them, because at least a nevela is worth something to, I don't know, someone who's not kosher, or to your animals. But this person is even below that. So we'll stop there, and we'll see another paragraph from someone else in a moment. So that's a very powerful statement, right? That someone who lacks this refined character, they could be a great Talmid Chacham, but their whole, it's hard to talk about the value of someone, because it can get into very unpleasant territory. But in the context of classic yeshiva mussar, we know what it means. It's just a person has lost their place on the totem pole, right? In the world of the yeshiva, the top of the heap is the Talmid Chacham, but not if the Talmid Chacham lacks derech eretz. And to now sort of, I think, add a beautiful touch is Rabbi Baruch Simon. He's a contemporary Rosh Yeshiva at YU. And he takes Rabbi Cutler's piece and extends it even further. He says, Muvuar midivarav, he's commenting on Rabbi Aaron Cutler's piece, She'inyan hadat kashur l'derech eretz, right? We noticed, we mentioned that the dot, that if the, we said in the Midrash, that if kol t'milcham she'ein bo dat, doesn't have this sort of knowledge, this wisdom, right? That's the Talmid Chacham that is not valued. So derech eretz, because Moshe knew not to enter into the room without being called, is connected to dat. What is dat? So in sort of halachic Jewish parlance, dat is the ability to distinguish between good and better, between bad and worse, between A and B, which is why, if you've ever wondered, why Havdalah in the Amida on Motzei Shabbat is in the bracha of Atachonein la'adam dat, that God graces us with knowledge. And then we say it was Shabbat, and now it's a weekday. The ability to distinguish between Shabbat and weekday is embedded in the bracha of dat, because that's really what dat is. It's the ability to distinguish between two different things. With that in mind, Rabbi Simon offers this beautiful idea. He says, the Talmid Chacham, she'ein bo dat, perusho she'es etzo chisaron b'derech eretz. A person, a scholar that does not have wisdom, means that he lacks this refinement of character. Ubavor zed nevelat tova himenu, and because of this dead animal is better. Ki kol malata chai etzlo enu chashuva klal. V'yesh lomar ha-hezber bazel. What does this mean? Ki ne amitat inyan hadat b'divri chazal hu hadeya lahavchin ben kodesh l'chol. Dat, as I just said, in the words of the rabbis, in the world of the rabbis, is about the ability to distinguish between holy and profane, holy and not holy. Uben kedusha kala l'kedusha chamura, and between a high level holiness and a lower level holiness. Ka'amram chazal, im ein deya havdala minayan. If one does not have insight, there's no way for them to make havdala, to be able to distinguish between one thing and the other thing. V'zo haita madrigat Moshe Rabbeinu Levasham. This was the high level of Moshe. So now we're going to try to understand what was so great about Moshe. Amud hadat she'amavchin u'mavdil ben kedusha kala shel ha'azara l'kedusha chamura shel lefnai v'lefnei. Moshe is considered to be the pillar of wisdom because he understood the difference in sanctity between the Azara, which was a lower level of sanctity in the Mishkan, and the inside the Ohel Moed, or inside the Kodesh HaKadashim, which was even a higher level of sanctity. V'lachein, lo lichnas ad shekaralo. Now we know why Moshe didn't go in. He didn't go in not just because he wasn't called in. He didn't go in because he was indicating that the behavior, his behavior needed to be different vis-a-vis the Ohel Moed because it was so holy. U'kemochein, al derech ze hu inyan hityachasut b'derech eretz kalpe achirim. We similarly have to be able to apply this knowledge of distinction to people. Shemishesh bodat mavchin umavdil ech shekol echad veechad mi Yisrael hagam shehu shone ligamre mimenu meachirim. Such a nice idea that the ability to distinguish is also the ability to discover what's special about people. And that even if a person is different than me and different than others, the person with that refined ability can find something special and holy and unique in every single person. Right, that is another element of dat. Shemishesh bo dat, mavchin umavdil. Person who has wisdom is able to distinguish and tell apart. Ech shekol echad v'chad miYisrael, yesh bo kedusha ve'erech na'ale. The ability to distinguish and say, I found this special quality in you, and I found this other special quality in you, and this sanctified element of your life. And Rabbi Baruch Simon says it's about Yisrael. I would argue it's about all human beings, you know, not just Yisrael, that every we're all created B'Tselem Elokim in God's image, so that by definition we all have something unique and special. Imko ze yesh bo kedusha ve'erech na'ale, has sanctity and an elevated value, v'tzarich linhog bo kavod, and one must treat that person with honor. Ma she'ein ken, which is not the case. Mishe'ein bodat, eino sam libo lavchin sheyesh b'chaveiro kedusha. A person's not sensitive enough. Maybe that's the way we should use this. That's the language we should use. It's a sensitivity. Without knowledge, a person lacks the sensitivity to distinguish within all people that they meet their sanctity and their uniqueness, and therefore they don't act towards them in that special way. So we've gone from this midrash that talks about Moshe at first just sounding like a normal human, polite person, doesn't go into a room without being asked to come in or without knocking, right? In the hands of Rav Aaron Cutler and Rav Baruch Simon, we've formed this idea into such a bigger idea that the Talmid Chacham, and it's something we all aspire to, right? That we all aspire to this ability to have this way to with sensitivity look at our surroundings and pick out what's good and special and holy about our surroundings, and being able to separate what may not be so wholesome and not be so holy and cloud what we're looking at and say, okay, I could move that away. I could use my dot to do Havdalah and to separate and to real, and it's almost like a sifter, right? I put a personality through a sifter and through holes in the sifter, I see their purity. I see their beauty. I see their kedusha. And that is that's the hallmark of a true Talmud Chacham. A true Talmud Chacham is one whose Torah has refined their character to such a degree that every person is treated with honor and kavod. And I want to stop here and see if there are any comments, if this reminds anyone of any Torah that they're familiar with or anything they want to say. And then I'll close with one or two other brief sources, which I think sort of back up this point. But at this point, anything. So this is like sort of a riff on Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, but I think in a very, very beautiful way. Any thoughts? Yes, Arnold. I can't hear you for some reason. Can anyone else hear Arnold?
Ooh,
there we go. Now we got you.
But isn't it kind of a general lesson? I mean, knowledge. I mean, when you first read it, I kind of said, yeah, I mean, knowledge by itself is meaningless unless, in fact, you add to it what they're calling Derech Eretz, or it's more than the ability to use it. It's even the ability to approach people, interface. By itself, you're right. And the analogy to a piece of, you know, an animal that potentially is kosher and you mess it up, and, you know, yeah, it's the same thing. He's ruining what he could be learning from the Torah. I mean, to me, that's kind of a lesson all the time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree. I would not put this in the big chidush category, right? This is not something like, oh, I never thought of that before. But what's interesting here is, I think, David's point about the potential. That I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. And I think another point here is, two things. In the world where this lesson is coming from, right, the world of Aaron Cutler, and in our world too, where Talmidei Chachamim should be valued and respected, we're being reminded, or maybe the Talmud Chacham is being reminded, right, that is really important, but it can't be the knowledge itself is not worthy of kavod. And I think also in our contemporary world, I think that's a very important, right? Many of us are in a knowledge-based economy. There's the gig economy and there's the, I guess, the blue collar economy. And we're many of us are in a knowledge economy, right? We all work hard, of course, but a lot of our schooling and training is about amassing knowledge, and with that knowledge, doing our jobs. I mean, I'll just speak for myself. That's certainly my job. I went to school for lots of years. I tried to learn Torah. I continue to try to learn Torah and then apply it and teach it. And so our whole world is so much about what we know that this is like a nice reminder that, yeah, what we know is really important, but it's not the most important thing. And actually what we know could actually devalue us if that knowledge doesn't make us kind. I see David's on and Shira's on. I don't know if there are any other docs on, right? But I like my doctors who are two things, really smart and really nice. And you could argue, what do I need a nice doctor for? I really just want them to diagnose me properly and give me the right medicine and treatment. Yeah, of course. But for some reason, it makes me feel better about the whole process, right? When they respond, it is a good bedside manner, and there's a clear concern for me as a person, and they ask me one or two extra questions about my life instead of just being totally clinical. you know, I think that's really something that sometimes gets lost. And so I think that's really, I think that's what's going on here. You're right, Arnold. It's not a big chiddush, but I'll just quote the introduction to Mesilat Yesharim. If you ever studied Mesilat Yesharim, in the introduction, he says, nothing in this book is should be news to you. Everything is obvious, but sometimes because it's obvious, we lose sight of it. So I'm going to write a whole book about it, which he did not, maybe he did or didn't realize would become like the quintessential book of Musar. So
I have a different take. I know we're already at 9, but I'll go quickly.
Go.
Or 10 for you. What if the analogy of Hashem is to knowledge or to Torah, and the calling of Moshe and then speaking to him is to wake him up and to say, I'm about to speak to you, get prepared. And in the same way that we have kind of the same analogy here, like you might think that all you need to do is have knowledge, but actually there's another step. You need to be prepared to use that knowledge in the world in a way that's productive.
Nice.
So maybe that's the other analogy.
Great. Great. Yeah.
Rabbi, there's also the flip side, which no one has mentioned. There are Herods without knowledge. Is also kind of worthless. And, you know what I'm saying? And there you now get into how many people have you met with wonderful social interface, but no knowledge.
Right. I don't want that to be my doctor either, but, but you know, I don't know. We know lots of, I'm not so sure. You know, there are lots of really wonderful, sweet people who do lots of acts of chesed, lots of acts of kindness. But for whatever reason, they didn't go to yeshiva. They haven't had a chance to have a Torah education. But they could still be a tzaddik, right? They could still be a really righteous person. But the Talmud Chacham, who's a jerk, I don't know if they get the tzaddik moniker. So I don't know. I'm not, I don't know. That's a, I guess at 120, when we meet after 120, Arnold, we'll know the answer. We'll see who's around and we'll know the answer. I just want to look at one little snippet of Gemara, which I always love. It's a midrash, which speaks to this as well. It's in Bereshit Rabbah, back in the Avraham days. Here it is. Achar ha-divrim ha-ela hayat divar Hashem al Avraham b'machazel le'mor. Ha'el tamim darko imrat Hashem tzurufa magen hu l'chol achosim bo. So first, after these things, God came to Abraham, and they connect this pasuk to this event. As for God, his ways are perfect. The word of Hashem is tried. A shield is he for all who take refuge in him. So God protects Abraham. Because the end of the pasuk is Anochi Magain, I'm going to protect you, God says to Abraham. And here we have a pasuk in Tehillim that says God is a protector. But the rabbis pick up on this word, Imrat Hashem Tzirufa. The words of Hashem, and Tzirufa here is what we're going to try to translate. So the rabbis say as follows. Rav Amar lo nitnu ha-mitzvot ela litzaref bahen et habriyot. So God's words are refined, and the rabbis say the Torah was only given in order to refine humanity. To refine humanity. And then the Midrash asks this great question. V'chimach bat le la-kadosh baruch hu, l'misha shochet min ha-tzavar o misha shochet min ha-oref. Does it really matter to God whether someone does shechita from the neck or from the back of the head, or from the back of the neck, the bottom of the neck, or the back of the neck? Does it really matter? Ella, have a lo nitnu ha-mitzvot ella litzaref et habriyot. But God gave the mitzvot in order to make us better, in order to refine us. Right? There's a purpose for the Torah. The Torah is not busy work. Like I remember we used to get busy work in school or write on the board 100 times, I will not disturb the class. That's the same rabbi who called me an Oisvarf, right? It's not, the Torah is not busy work. The Torah is here to create a type of person and a type of society. And with this, this will be the last thing. The Rambam talks about this twice in his Mor Nevuchim, but he says it explicitly in chapter part 3, chapter 31. He says that there are six reasons for the mitzvot. All the mitzvot fall under one or more of these categories: to inculcate a truth, to remove some erroneous opinion, to establish proper relations in society, to diminish evil, to train in good manners, or to warn against bad habits. So it would be interesting to, I don't know if anyone's ever written a book to try to fit all the mitzvot under one of these six categories, but the Rambam's point is there's a purpose for Torah. It's not busy work. Even the chukim, the Rambam, is a strong proponent that every single mitzvah has a reason that can that we can figure out if we spend enough time on it. So I call this the short title of this is called is Why Torah, or as we set out, an important lesson from a tiny incident. This tiny incident of Moshe not being not going into the Ohel Moed until God invites him opens up a discussion about dat, knowledge and wisdom, which is about Havdalah, the ability to distinguish and to have the sensitivity to look at other people and find what's fine about them and what's good about them, because that's essentially what the Chachma is supposed to be about. The Chachma, the wisdom, the Torah knowledge, is supposed to lead us to this refined character, so that we can treat everyone with kavod, sort of an expanded idea of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. So thank you for joining.
Yeah.
And any last words, any last comments, questions or thoughts?
Very nice.
Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you for joining, everybody. I wish everyone a early best wishes for Shabbat Shalom. I hear it's, like I said before, I hear it's cold where you are, so stay warm. Yeah. And I hope to see you all soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.